why are you not in Mass? Or just coming back from Mass, having prayed to the baby Jesus to save you from COVID-19? What are you doing here? There's more important things to be done. Hey, by the way, how you doing? This is the BBG, not the BBC, Sunday morning, March 29th, 2020. And I decided to drop in on you for about an hour or 90 minutes to have a chat and to play a few tunes and all the rest of it. Why not, eh? Now, you can tweet to Richie Allen Radio Show by tweeting at Richie Allen Show. Do tweet me. You can ask me questions about the coronavirus. Not that I have any answers, but you can ask me anyway. Or you can make general comments, you can make mischief, you can do what you bloody well want. All right. But before any of that, we're going to kick off with a tune. Let's kick off with a tune. Let's have a tune. Oh, yes. Hey, good morning. It's great to be back on the radio. Richie Allen with you until around about 1:30 p.m. Don't you just love it? Chocolate. And though you win again on the Richie Allen Radio Show out of the blue, right about 9:30, 10 o'clock, just before I went out for a stroll, on Salford's deserted streets, Mother of Jesus, huh? Program is streaming and it's sounding really good on richieallen.co.uk and the TuneIn Radio app. I've had one or two tweets from people saying they can't hear it. It's streaming really well. I'm monitoring it at the same time it is going out, so I can't do anything for you. Maybe refresh or change your browser or whatever the bloody hell. Are you well? Are you still alive? You're alive. Good. It's good to be alive. Rule one of navigating this experience we call life is waking up. Have you woken up? You have. Listen, I'm going to read all your tweets, all of them. Good morning to Shona, who's in South Africa this morning. And she wants to thank Gail, because Gail tweeted that I was coming on. Thanks, Gail. And she's listening in South Africa right now, doing a bit of gardening, and came back inside just in time to catch the show. How you doing? Hi to Chris. Thanks for your tweet, Chris. I'll retweet it, the HSBC poster about how our DNA will be our data in the future. These are important things to remember when various government ministers are saying that it would be a good idea if every man, woman and child had the nasal and the throat swab. Well, of course it would be good, but not for you. Right? Of course they want everybody's DNA profile on the system. And this is one of the ways to get it. I'm bombarded by emails and tweets and text messages from friends and family and enemies. And Richie, what's going on? I've only got opinions. I think what's going on, I think it's multifaceted. I think there are many things going on. I don't believe that we have been beset by a deadly killer coronavirus. I don't believe that at all. What I do believe, and it's just my bloody opinion, is that what we are experiencing now, and we're a day or two away from April, we're experiencing something that we experienced back in the winter of 2014-2015. A nasty, severe flu outbreak. That's what I believe we're experiencing. More people died in and were affected in 2014-2015 than seemingly have been affected in 2020 thus far. Because the winter, of course, spreads over December, then January of the new year, February. So just dealing with 2020, January, February, March, the 2014-2015 flu season was far more devastating, not just in the UK, but around the world. Lots of people died. I want to talk more about that in a minute. I've done a bit of research. The flu doesn't kill anybody, you see, dear listener. And we've got to keep this in mind. Coronavirus, if it's real, and I think they've just given a name to a new strain of flu, which is pretty severe, that doesn't kill anybody. What kills you is your diabetes. What kills you is your COPD. What kills you is your asthma. What kills you is your obesity, maybe. These are the things, you see, that we don't think of. We can't think of, we can't think about, because mostly we get our information from the same four or five sources. And holy Jesus, let me tell you this. Good morning, by the way. I know there are people listening to this for the very first time. Good morning and welcome to the Richie Allen Radio Show. Well, this isn't the regular radio show. It isn't even Sunday View. But it is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. I am the BBG, the saviour of the independent media. And if you believe that, I'll tell you another. The most widely read news website in the UK is Daily Mail Online. It's the most widely read, right? Obviously, the biggest websites are YouTube and Facebook and Google and all that. But the most widely used website, news, media one, is dailymail.co.uk. Right. Let me give you a rundown of the stories on the Daily Mail to give you an idea of the pressure that people in this country are under and why people are reacting in the way that they are. And you're fed up to the back teeth and you're upset and you're calling them sheep and you're blaming them for going along with the stupid feckin' hand clapping for the nurses and the NHS workers. Listen, they're being bombarded. I'm going to read you the headlines from the first few stories on dailymail.co.uk. Headline number one, this jumps out at you now. If you want to do this with me, do it with me, dear listener. Grab your phone, grab your tablet, grab your laptop and do it with me. Do it, I said. Do it now. Dailymail.co.uk. Story number one, health chief says we must stay locked down until June. UK could be made to remain at home for nearly 3 months to avoid worst effects of coronavirus and practice social distancing until October. No, no, I've got Jeff Lynne tickets for the arena in October. ELO, evil woman, live and sing, Jesus Christ, turn into stone. I'm not going to be listening to Jeff Lynne in October, apparently. Better get me money back. That's story number one. Story number two, furious Welsh locals block Range Rover driver who had driven 115 miles from Sheffield to Snowdonia despite coronavirus lockdown. This is what's happening to people, you see. People are scared shitless. You can't even find, I can't even find comparable scares historically. I cannot think of one. Maybe when people first went to see Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, maybe. And they weren't used to that. People getting stabbed in the shower and eerie music. And they were fleeing the cinemas. People are now coming out, blocking the roads and screaming abuse at people and threatening people for being out of the house. Yes, that was story number two. Story number three. Boris Johnson writes to every home in the UK, warning, things will get worse before they get better. And he calls on the public to obey the lockdown after photos prove many are still flouting the rules. Bojo, apparently it's costing around about 6 million quid to write to 30 million households to tell us to stay the fuck in. I saw the letter this morning, 5 or 6 paragraphs. He could have just one paragraph. Stay the fuck in. Otherwise, you might die. Story four, French former minister Patrick Devedjian, I can't pronounce his surname, former French minister, becomes most senior politician to die. Story number five, they were healthy. 13 of the 260 who died in the UK's blackest day in the coronavirus crisis had no underlying health conditions. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's only broken up by Peter Hitchens, God love him. Peter, if I was gay, I'd kiss you. In fact, I'd kiss you anyway, Peter. Peter Hitchens is aghast at this. Genuine fear in Peter Hitchens at what he's witnessing. People being urged to phone hotlines to rat out their neighbours. It is mad, isn't it? More than 1.6 million people affected, in England, says the Daily Mail, and so on, so on, so on. So people are scared witless. Right. They are. And I believe it to be nothing more than a bad flu season. It's funny because some of my neighbours, why would you not trust them, Richie? And you could list off any number of reasons why you don't trust them historically. Right? And I don't get into it with people. So yeah, so those are the stories. The same on the bbc.co.uk, it's the same on skynews.com. Everything else hasn't taken a backseat. Everything else has disappeared. There is only coronavirus news. That's all there is. Things to get worse before getting better. And Michael Gove has been on the television this morning. That would be Michael Gove, the cabinet secretary. He is the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. I don't know what any of that means, but he's Michael Gove. And he's been warning today on Sky and the BBC that the lockdown is going to be for a significant period. Now, I won't bore you because I said I would play a few more tunes than I ordinarily would. And I also said, didn't I, that I would read out your comments. I won't repeat that which I said during week. But I'm going to say this. The economic cost or implications of what these nutcases are doing we will see in the very, very, very near future poverty that people have only previously read about. I'm talking Dickensian model of poverty is coming to a town near you real soon. Madness. Right, I'm going to take another tune, because I said I would do, and when I come back I'll read some more of your comments and we'll have some more chat as well. This is Peter Sarsfield. I love this. Hey, good morning, by the way. BBG, not the BBC. Thank God, it's good to be back.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like Zizi Jarmet. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. You live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel. Yes, you do. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on. Yes, it does. When you go on your summer vacation, you go to Juan-les-Pins with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs, and when the snow falls you're found in Samoritz with the others of the jet set, and you sip your Napoleon brandy, but you never get your lips wet. No, you don't. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. Your name, it is heard in high places. You know the Aga Khan. He sent you a racehorse for Christmas, and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh. They say that when you get married, it'll be to a millionaire, but they don't realize where you came from, and I wonder if they really care or give a damn. Where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. I remember the back streets of Naples, two children begging in the rags, both touched with a burning ambition to shake off their lowly born tapes, and they try. So look into my face, Marie Claire, and remember just who you are. Then go and forget me forever, but I know you still bear the scar deep inside. Yes, you do. I know where you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed. I know the thoughts that surround you,
tune. By the way, I know I'm a Muppet, by the way. Not Peter Sarsfield. Peter Sarsdet, of course. Peter Sarsdet. And where do you go to, my lovely, on the Richie Allen Radio Show? Big shout out to Tom Morris. How you doing, Tom? I wasn't due to be on the radio, Tom. A lot of you are saying, oh, the clocks went forward. No, I wasn't due to be with you this morning. There wasn't any Sunday View schedule. Sunday View returns, and it'll sound a bit different, next Sunday, whatever date that is, next Sunday. But good morning, Tom. Good morning to Bass Ninja. Keep those tweets coming in. Say hello to me. Hi to John Stott. The country's being turned into a concentration camp without any real scrutiny or challenge. What else will the establishment be able to get away with now? They know they can, asks John. Yes. Well, of course, there's no resistance to what's happening. And again, you know, reserve your wrath. Hold on to your anger, your vitriol. Don't blame people. Don't blame them. Don't blame them at all, right? Okay. It's not productive. Hi to Alan Barnes. How you doing, Alan? Thanks very much, Alan. Good morning to William. How you doing, William? Nice to know you're with me this morning. Bit short notice, but I did drop a little video on YouTube. By the way, this won't be on YouTube, by the way. Because there's a few tunes in this. Maybe I'll edit it, maybe I will, maybe I won't, I don't know. But it will be on Podomatic a bit later on. Hi to Colin Adam. Colin is in Cape Town in South Africa, but he's originally from Bolton, which is not too far from Salford, Colin, as you know. Good morning, mate, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say, to you in South Africa. I hope you and yours are well, and you're keeping relatively sane as this madness unfolds day by day. Let's hear Michael Gove. I have queued up a little bit of audio. This is Michael Gove speaking to Sky News earlier on, saying that, well, the lockdown will be in place for a significant period. It's very important that we pay attention to this. Here is Michael Gove.
I can't make an accurate prediction, but everyone, I think, does have to prepare for a significant period when these measures are still in place. And the response so far from the British people has been fantastic, as I say. I wish I could predict when this will end, but it's vitally important that at the moment and for weeks ahead that people maintain the strict social distancing guidelines that have been laid out. Date of the peak depends on all of our behaviour. It's not a fixed point, a date in the calendar like Easter. It is something that all of us can affect by our actions. We've managed to significantly increase testing, and we'll be doing more in the course of this week. The doctors, the nurses, the cleaners, everyone who works in our hospitals and in social care, they are the absolute top priority.
Well, I'm glad he gave the cleaners a mention. I don't know about you. They have a hell of a time. The cleaners. So that's where I am. A number of you have been saying to me, Richie, chemtrail spraying. You never talk about... Hang on a second now. Of course I've spent a significant amount of time over the years speaking about geoengineering and chemtrail spraying. And I think, listen, let's just park modesty to one side just for a second, right? Let's leave modesty to one side. I think one of the reasons you traditionally listen to this radio program is I can't tell you, because I would be wrong, that the illness that people are experiencing, you know, was dumped into the atmosphere on you and me and everybody else. I can't say that. I don't have any proof of that. But I'm prepared to consider it as a possibility. And the programme has traditionally provided a space for people to discuss such probabilities and possibilities. Chemtrail spraying is a real thing, and it has been going on now for some decades. This I know for a fact. So I couldn't possibly rule out, not for a minute, that, you know, some nefarious agenda has decided through the atmosphere to dump on people a virulent strain of flu or some virus. I couldn't say no to it, because it isn't preposterous. Now, to the people whom are queuing up outside their local supermarket and they're obeying the 2 meter rule and are reporting on their neighbours online because they are genuinely terrified of the virus, those people are in the majority. And for the majority, unfortunately, the notion that some body or bodies would dump chemicals into the atmosphere that would then make them ill, for those people, that is a preposterous and ridiculous notion. Absolutely bizarre and totally unworthy of consideration. I've had this for years. Remember, I've been making programs like this for years. So I am prepared to consider the possibility. Listen, I've read books written by whistleblowers from the old Iron Curtain days. Brilliant books about biological and chemical warfare and factories where you have very, very capable scientists, men and women, devising and growing cultures of the most devastating microorganisms that, if they were to be released into a city, would kill people within a couple of days. Fact, every country in the world spends a significant amount of money developing biological weapons. So of course it's possible that in order to provide the reason, in order to get the public to go along with a total change in the way they live, that somebody has decided, yes, let's make people pretty ill. It's also possible that this is, as I said earlier on, a flu strain similar to that of 2014-2015, which was pretty deadly. You've got to remember that. The very outset, when we heard about this virus very early on, they talked about it being a problem potentially for the aged, the very aged, you know, whose immune systems are not what they once were, but also people with underlying health conditions. The reason why so many people died in 2014-2015 wasn't because of the flu itself, but because it was a rather nasty strain of flu, and those who died were already ill, vulnerable to an attack from a pretty nasty virus. That's what I reckon is going on. I said many times during the week, both on the YouTube live streams and to people whom I've encountered and who are interested in an opposing point of view, I have said to them, look at the reaction. Look at the measures put in place by your governments and by your police. That gives you a clue as to what really happened to begin with. And that's what I can say. Of course, I consider, you know, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that they've dumped stuff into the atmosphere. They do regularly dump stuff, nanoparticles, into the atmosphere. We see it every day of the week. We're not seeing it so much now. I don't know if that's because it might become more obvious to people as commercial flights have dwindled all across the UK and Europe. Maybe that's one of the reasons we're not seeing so much of the spraying now. So, hi to Charlie. Charlie girl, how you doing, Charlie? My friends who usually tolerate my conspiracies chat are telling me to shut the F up. This virus is serious. They cannot comprehend the extent of the corruption, says Charlie. I'm not sure even the likes of Johnson are aware of who's steering this. Well, Boris Johnson is no different to any other national leader. He's a front man. He's a yes man. Massive good morning to John Rorty in New York City. How you doing, John? Madness here in the States, especially New York, the epicenter right now, says John. Trump had announced statewide quarantines of New York, New Jersey and Connecticut. A pushback by New York Governor Andy Cuomo has thwarted that for now. TV news media doling out heavy doses of the fear Kool-Aid. TV news media doling out heavy doses of the fear Kool-Aid. And that's what we have seen here in the UK and in my country, Ireland. I wonder if you got a chance to speak to the average man and woman. Now, when I say average man and woman, I'm an average man and woman. Well, I'm an average man. Average bloke. You know, I live in a community. I live in what used to be a housing estate. And I'm no different to anybody else. Go about my business. So I'm an average man. So if you said to the average person, ask them to to describe the media to explain what it is they think about the media. And I think that today in 2020, I think most people believe that the media reports the news. If you asked people at random, if you did a vox pop, if you took a microphone into a town centre and asked people to define the media, I think most people would say, well, the media reports the news. That's what people believe. They believe that the media informs them about current events. Without passion, without prejudice, objectively. That's what people still believe in 2020, despite all evidence to the contrary. Despite the media admitting themselves, post the Iraq war, that they had not only fallen asleep at the wheel, but they had let people down by not challenging the US and UK governments about their reasoning for bombing Iraq. They apologised for it and said they would never do it again. The Guardian wrote a letter. Despite that, people believe that the media reports on a set of facts. And if you get somebody who reads the newspapers, who's maybe a bit well-read, that person might say, well, the media, the newspapers, what they do is they report on a set of facts and they provide comment from various parties. They ensure that all angles are covered and it's up to you, the reader, then to discern what it is that you want from what you've read. People believe that shit to this day. They believe it, despite all evidence to the contrary. The media exists and exists only to sell the establishment agenda, to sell it. You will not be able to find, and all of the programmes now are archived. Every news programme on the BBC is archived on the BBC iPlayer. All of Sky News is archived on YouTube. No presenter. And this is what's driving Peter Hitchens mad, God love him. I reckon there's a real awakening going on in the mind of Peter Hitchens. No television or radio presenter is challenging government ministers about the extent of the power grab and the attack on civil liberties that we've seen in recent days. The presenters, and I played you some audio on the YouTube live stream earlier this week, people like Kay Burley are goading the ministers, encouraging them to be more fanciful in the projections and in the language they use. Remember Burley goading Michael Gove, saying, go on, shock them, tell them that hundreds of thousands will die if they won't stay indoors. She was the fucking presenter. That's what it does. We're back to don't blame people. They're terrified. And if you think people are terrified, their children are shitting themselves. I speak to some of my neighbours who have children. And people I meet every day in the park. The kids are absolutely scared witless. Why wouldn't they be? So it's mad. And Michael Gove is saying the lockdown could go on until October. Hi to Paddy O'Hare. How you doing, Paddy? Musician pal of mine and a former presenter at Fab Radio. What an effing madhouse we are in right now, eh, says Paddy. We are. And they're saying the lockdown's going to get worse. It's at 26 minutes to one. It is the 29th of March. This is the BBG, not the BBC. My name is Richie Allen. I've got another tune and I've chosen this one with the future Mrs. Allen in mind. This is Baccarat. No rhyme or reason to how I choose my tunes, you know. Now, when this is uploaded later on to Podomatic, it probably won't be on YouTube later on. So you're going to have to share it Podomatic way, if you know what I mean. All right. You are with Europe's most listened to independent radio show. My name is Richie Allen. Sunday morning. And I'm delighted to be back with you. I'm back tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Monday to Thursday. The Richie Allen Radio Show live at 5 o'clock. That's tomorrow. But for today, I'm not going anywhere for a while. Plenty to still talk about. Yes, sir, I can boogie. Mister,
Your eyes are full of hesitation. She makes me wonder if you know what you're looking for. Baby, I wanna keep my reputation. I'm a sensation. You try me once, you beg for more.
Caroline's mother on the bass there, Monique on the bass. Right, welcome back. Listen, the Richie Allen Radio Show returns properly tomorrow at 5 o'clock. John Rappaport is among the guests tomorrow. John dropped me a lovely email yesterday. How you getting on, Richie? And I've got lots to say. I said, of course you do. He'll be on with me tomorrow. There will be other guests lined up during the week. Some of you have asked me to open the phone lines because you've got plenty to say about the lockdown. Your wish is my command. So maybe on Tuesday, around about 5:20, I'll open the Skype and the phone and you can vent your spleen if you want. We can do that on Tuesday. Lots coming up. Hi to Jim Godfrey, who's loving the tunes. How you doing, Jim? Thanks for that, mate. And I took Cranium Love Oil. There's a great Twitter name, Cranium Love Oil. Anyone I've tried to explain the Sky chemical operation, that have challenged the idea that the most staunch Labour supporters with no way... Right, I get you. You tweeted that really quickly. Cranium Love Oil. It doesn't read the way you meant it to read, but I get you. Cranium Love Oil is trying to explain to people, moderately, that the chemtrail thing is a real agenda, and it's been going on for many years. And the ones most staunchly opposed to any such notion are Labour supporters, incredibly, who say no way could governments organise that. Governments have got nothing to do with it. Do you understand that? Governments don't do these things. You really believe that Leo Varadkar, Mary Leo and Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron, do you imagine that these people are behind such agendas to dump heavy metals into the ionosphere? I wouldn't be surprised if Boris Johnson has never even heard of such a thing. Never been mentioned. No, they've got nothing to do. Politicians manage public life. It's what they do. They are there to preserve the illusion of democracy. They are there. Their only objective is to convince you ongoing that you get the chance to shape your own destiny and the destinies of your children every couple of years. Because it is every couple of years. You got local elections which were suspended because of the coronavirus. You got local elections, you got national elections. And people think, well, fuck it. I'll show them. I'll show Labour this time. I'll show that Labour Party, which many voters did in the north of the country because of Labour's screwing around with Brexit. Many people said up here, right, I'm going to vote Tory. I will have to hold my nose as I do so, but I will vote for the Tories because Labour are an undemocratic party. They are trying to reverse Brexit. People believe, you see. And politicians exist to preserve that illusion. Yes, I can change how things will be. But of course they can't. It's one massive distraction from what's really going on. 19 minutes to the top of the hour. More news in a minute, but I tell you what, more tunes. Here's Tom Jones. Hey? Why not? Tom Jones on the Richie Allen Radio Show. And I'll read more of your comments in a minute.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want.
It's hard to believe that I used to do that for a living, music programs, presenting music. I know it's hard, and I was well paid for it too. Tom Jones on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Sunday afternoon. It is now coming up for 16 minutes to one. Yourself, stupid. Nothing wrong with a bit of dad dancing. Don't ever let your dad dancing be put down. Somebody said to me, this is true. I sound a bit like Fox News now. Some people say, when I say somebody said to me, somebody really did say to me. Again, I'm out in the park. Why would they lie, Richie? Why would the media lie? And I said, well, the media is not lying. The media doesn't know. What do you mean? Well, I said we were told, weren't we, that in Madrid, they have cordoned off a street and turned it into a temporary morgue because so many people died of coronavirus in inverted commas in the previous 24 hours. And the person I was speaking with said, yes. By the way, the person I was speaking with doesn't have a Scooby-Doo what it is that I do for a living. And I said, right, can you be sure that the media has verified that? What do you mean by that? So where's the verification? Light dawns on Marblehead. A famous line from a movie called Cocktail. Light dawns on Marblehead. Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Exactly. It's taking it on face value. Well, why wouldn't they take it on face value? If the government says that 200 people died overnight and we had to set up a temporary morgue on a street, why shouldn't we take it on face value? Well, where do I fucking start? The Iraq War. September the 11th. The 7th of July bombing. The murder of JFK. Vietnam. Where do you want me to stop, love? Thousands of girls. Lives destroyed by a fucking vaccine called Gardasil. Right? At what point do you stop taking things at face value? And I don't speak to people in a dogmatic way, as I just did there. And you get through to people and people go, I suppose you have a point. Nobody knows. When Sky News presenters today, Channel 4, the usual suspects, tell you another 60 people died today in UK as a result of coronavirus, how do they know? Who is verifying it? Because that is their one and only job, dear listener. You can boil it down. All the lingo, all the rants, and all the Richie Allen Radio Show monologues can be boiled down to a single sentence. Their only job is to find out for themselves. But that hasn't happened in what we know as the media for many decades now. It doesn't happen. So they take a press release and they tell you that which they do not know to be true, which may be true. I'm not Nostradamus here. But they don't know it to be true. And they tell you it is true. And then they tell you that you must turn your life upside down. Lock yourself away. Scare the shit out of your children. Report your neighbours if you think they're going out too often. Be prepared to pay massive fines for being outside for frivolous reasons. Be prepared to be stopped by checkpoints and asked to explain why it is you are in your car. The very least the media is supposed to do is to verify if the stories coming out of Italy and the stories coming out of Spain are true. I don't believe them. Because they've been lying to me for fucking years. And it all comes out in the wash. So what do you do? You don't believe him, Richie, but you can't prove. Of course I can't prove that so many people didn't die in Italy. Of course I can't prove it, but I don't believe them. There is no verification. You know, at the very least, the journalists could at least try to cross-reference lists of names. So the Italian health authorities say, 500 people died this week. I'd like their names, please. Well, we can't give you that. Well, you fucking can and will give me that information. I'm a national radio presenter or a national television producer. You will give me that information and I will go and try to find out to verify that those people are real. That's your job. It's as simple as that because the stakes are that high. That's what you would say to your government minister, to your secretary of state as a senior journalist. You would say the stakes are so high, mate. You're asking us to submit to a Stalinesque way of life. to subjugate, to prostrate ourselves out in front of you, give up our freedom entirely. So at the very least you can do is show me some definitive proof that it is necessary to do so. But that's not what the media does. The media repeats over and over again that you have to stay inside, that you must be locked down. You shouldn't be going to the shop more than once a day. And you know the Daily Mail, the Mail on Sunday, because it is Sunday, the Mail on Sunday, is publishing photographs of people taken around the country, coming out of supermarkets yesterday with items that the Mail on Sunday has deemed to be non-essential, shaming people through the pages of the national, the biggest selling Sunday newspaper. Shaming people. No questioning of those people. No right of reply to the guy walking out of a supermarket with a lava lamp. Big story in the Mail on Sunday today. People going out to do non-essential shopping, coming back with a lava lamp, shaming people. This is where it's gone to. This is dystopian in ways that Huxley and Orwell couldn't have even imagined. Maybe the guy had a daughter whose birthday it was yesterday. Maybe she wanted a fucking lava lamp, maybe. So the very least the media should be doing is, rather than report that thousands have died from coronavirus, the very least is to ask for proof. I personally won't go on the air with any information for you until I have verified it from two different sources. A lot of conjecture on the Richie Allen Radio Show, a lot of opinion, and I tell you it's opinion, but if I tell you something is true, at least two sources to verify it. With coronavirus, there are no sources except the government and the World Health Organization, which is rammed, packed with men and women who used to work for some of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies. You couldn't make it up. 7.5 minutes to the top of the hour. More comments from you after music from Nina Simone. Ah, yeah.
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for. Don't please. Liz Taylor is not a star, and even Lana Turner's smile. Something he can't see. My baby don't care. Who knows? My baby just cares. Me. close. He cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. Baby don't care for, he don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style, and even Liberace smiled. Something he can't see is something he can't see. I wonder what's wrong with baby. My baby just cares for, my baby just cares for, my baby just cares.
Nina Simone there. I'm going to play that for two ladies. I'm going to say hi to my friend Ruth in Australia. How you doing, Ruth? Are you well? You might be listening to this, you might not. Late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening there in Oz. A big supporter, a big friend of the radio show. Ruth, I hope you're well. Thanks so much for your help and support as well in the last few weeks. And I want to say hi to Joanne Boddington, my mate Joe in Chorlton, in the great city of Manchester. She's a big fan of that tune. Jo's a real musician herself, a working musician. How you doing, Jo? Thanks for dropping in today. Hi to William in Scotland. William says, Richie, no, the only thing politicians manage is their bank accounts. And a number of you, including my great friend Jean-Anne Crowley, who was listening in Connemara this afternoon, on the West, in the West, is a number of you are saying, how much will people take of this? And I think people will take as much as they are given. Now, I know this to be true. Salford, like every other city, is serviced by all of the big supermarket chains, is Salford. And in one of Salford's big supermarket chains yesterday, people were fighting one another, threatening one another, over the 2 metre social distancing thing. People were becoming irate and swearing and roaring at one another for not observing the minimum 2 metre distance. And this particular supermarket had a couple of hefty Eastern European dickhead security guards who were walking around shouting at people to observe the distance as well. People will take whatever they are given because they are terrified. Because they watched Contagion, they watched Outbreak, they've been conditioned for years to believe that one day in the future there might be a disease that might wipe out humanity. They've been conditioned. This is what the great Jim Mars, I can't talk about Jim Mars without getting very emotional. So I'm not going to talk too much about Jim Mars because I don't want to get emotional. One of the greatest people I ever had the pleasure to know. A genius. And it was Jim that did the, what I consider to be the most groundbreaking work on predictive programming. Prepare the people of the world for tomorrow. Prepare them today through that which they spend most of their time doing, watching television, watching movies, and that's about it. It's as simple as that. Prepare them for the possibility. You know? And that's where we are with that. Hi to David Stanford. People are terrified, screaming at one another. Imagine it, roaring at one another. To keep back. Oh, Jesus. It'll eventually come to violence. As for the independent media, a number of you are asking me, well, what about the independent media? Well, in Peter Tatchell's latest piece today, in the Mail on Sunday, where he is expressing his continuing horror at our loss of liberty, as if we really had total liberty. Anyway, we didn't. But yes, it's worse now than it was 2 weeks ago, of course. And Peter is aghast at this. And he has opened up the discussion in his column today about the powers given to the government. And by the way, these powers were initially, as far as Peter is concerned anyway, a health act of 1984 to do with diseases, communicable diseases. Back in 84, they first legislated for powers to be given to the government to stop X, Y, and Z from happening, to prevent movement in the event there was a terrible disease out there that we were all in danger of getting. And Peter Hitchens in the Mail on Sunday today is talking about how soon before somebody in the government decides that it isn't very helpful for Peter Hitchens to be asking these questions, and it isn't very helpful that there are independent members of the commentariat, they're independent journalists, like yours truly, who are suggesting that there's something else going on. Hitchens is asking today how soon before they say this can't be allowed. Well, we're already here. The police, that is the Metropolitan Police in London, are petitioning the government as we speak for advice. Basically what's happening is the Met Police in London is having conversations with the Home Office, and Met Police senior staff, senior constables, superintendents, they want to know if they can stop people from using social media platforms to venture their opinion that something very sinister is going on. So you have the police now asking the government, listen, can we stop people from going on social media to say that this is some sort of psyop on the people of the world? Can we stop them in the same way that we have stopped people from suggesting that somebody born with a penis can't ever be a real woman? But the answer, of course, is yes. Yes, the Home Office will tell the police forces of the UK, the Greater Manchester Police, the Met Police, the police in Humberside, the police in Yorkshire. Yes, yes, if you believe that somebody's social media outpourings are indeed a threat to public order, yes, warn them and shut them bloody well down. Why not? Good idea, Chief Superintendent. Hitchens is talking today about journalists like him. Ah, there's a real commotion going on in the mind of Peter Hitchens, eh? You know, guys like Peter Hitchens, some of you have said today on social media, why, Richie, why? Why are the journalists silent? Why? Because they are mortgaged up to the tits, is why. And they have children, and they have husbands and wives. They have responsibilities. When I meet Fleet Street journalists, which I do every now and then, I come across them online or I meet them in the flesh, not very often of late, I don't hate them. I don't despise them. I don't want to punch them. That might come as a surprise to you. You might think, Jesus, why not, Richie? Because walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you cast judgment on them. Of course there are men and women like Peter Hitchens working for the tabloids, working for the broadsheets, and they are very uncomfortable with what they are seeing unfold in front of their eyes. But they know they'll be for the fucking long jump if they start ruffling any feathers. And you're mortgaged up the wazoo because you bought a 3-bedroom semi-detached in London, and it cost you more than £500,000. And you have children, and you have a spouse, and you have a mountain of debt. Maybe you have student loan debt. You can't afford. And you might think, well, that's pretty shabby. But I don't. I understand it. I knew full well what I was doing when I left gainful employment to do this. I discussed it with the future Mrs. Allen, the oft-mentioned. We didn't have any children then. We don't now. We'd like to. We didn't own anything. We didn't have any debt. And I said to the great woman, I said, when I go down this road, it is over for me in the mainstream. But we could do that. There are people working now in the offices of the Guardian, of the Observer, of the Telegraph. They can't afford to do it. And you wonder why. And you see them as traitors. And I see some of you threaten them online and you say, oh, well, when this is all over, when we take our power back and we kick out all the tyrants, we're coming for the journalists. No, we're fucking not coming for the journalists. Terrified as well. Terrified to be not out in the street, you see. More music and then more comments, because lots of comments are coming in. Here's John Denver. Bit of John Denver for you on the Richie Allen Radio Show Sunday morning.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain. Sleepy blue ocean, you fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Come let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your life.
My mate Joe Boddington, Joanne Boddington's got some memory. You got some memory, Joe. Joe says, Richie, this song reminds me of a Monty Python song which got withdrawn after legal advice. Do you remember? Of course I remember. This is an album by Monty Python called Monty Python's Contractual Obligation Album, which is released in... Right, I'm not going to Google it. I could Google it, or I could Bing or Yahoo it too, I suppose. But it was around 79, 80, thereabouts, an album that came out. And there were some songs on it that were fairly, well, deemed to be fairly offensive at the time, including a song called Sit on My Face. But they had a song called Farewell to John Denver, which saw one of the pythons, I can't remember which one basically, taking off John Denver, singing Annie's song. And there was a part of the song that sounded like John Denver was being choked to death, I think. And there was a lot of trouble over it. So, without looking it up now, that's my recollection, Joe. But yes, Monty Python's Contractual Obligation album. That's the one. That's the one. Good stuff. You're with Richie Allen Show, the BBC, not the BBG. I'm going to be with you for another 10 minutes or thereabouts. I can't add very much to that which I've said. I've been reading your comments out as they've been coming in. Thanks to them. Gail, particularly fond of the John Denver song. It is a beautiful song, Gail. And John Denver is an amazing artist. I've been collecting vinyl again for the last couple of years as a hobby, and it's taken over my life. And I have been doing so because the oft-mentioned Caroline, French Caroline, that'd be my other half, a couple of years ago, she bought me a record player. She spent a few bob on a nice modern record player with a USB output capability and all the rest of it. And she also bought for me a couple of Bruce Springsteen albums, a U2 album, and some other albums as well. And she rekindled my love for analogue vinyl music. And since then, I've built a stacking system, an analogue stacking system at home. And I've taken great joy in shopping for vinyl bargains using various websites and stuff. And I've amassed, without spending a lot of money at all, it must be said, I've amassed a couple of hundred records that I love, vinyl. And I'm kind of getting into, isn't it funny, as somebody who's a big fan of so many different types of music and so many different genres, I'm kind of getting into John Denver. And I know there's not too much similarity between John and Johnny Cash, but also Johnny Cash. And getting some old vinyl, and I love it. And I'm kind of playing a lot of John Denver and Johnny Cash lately. And vinyl is a great thing. I know it's a great hobby to have, and I love it anyway. And I'm meeting a lot of people through my kind of new hobby anyway. Right. Bass Ninja tweets, considering that she's so pretty vacant, Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, is a fascist. I don't think the police will be refused any requests. This is the idea that police, and we know this because they've tweeted out as such, the police are looking for guidance. They want to be in a position to shut down people who are challenging the whole coronavirus narrative, because the police believe that, you know, people who are challenging it might be a danger to the public. Because an unsuspecting member of the public might hear a broadcast from maybe somebody like me, or might read Peter Hitchens, and might decide then, well, yes, it is a load of bollocks. Therefore, the public is in danger. Hi to Jim Rippey. How you doing, Jim? Thanks, Jim, for the kind words. Good to be back, mate. It really is good to be back on radio, where I belong, with me big baldy head and me. What have I got for you? We talked about people being very scared and very moved and, you know, very emotional. NHS workers. An NHS doctor called Goody Singh. She's a paediatrician. And she's been drafted in now to help adults who are sick with the virus. She says that there is a lot of anxiety among doctors and nurses. They are terrified. And they're not sure there is enough personal protective equipment. And when people cough, they are being told to close their eyes now. Strangely. Here she is, Dr. Goody Singh, speaking to the BBC earlier on. Goody Singh. Obviously, I didn't edit this, right?
My name is Goody, and I'm a paediatric doctor in London. I'm one of the lucky ones. COVID-19 doesn't tend to affect children anywhere near as severely as it does adults, and so I haven't yet faced the intensity of cases that my colleagues in adult medicine have. In this hospital, the sickest children who are in pediatric intensive care are being moved to another hospital in order to make space for adult COVID patients. And we're being asked to suspend normal life to be on call on a military-style rota. Now, there's a huge amount of anxiety amongst my colleagues right across the country for many reasons. The NHS is about to be flooded with a tsunami of really sick COVID patients that we do not have the capacity to deal with. And there is still huge amounts of confusion around the use and availability of PPE. And then we're also going to be asked to work outside of our competence. If you heard some of the reports that I'm getting from my colleagues who are treating adult COVID patients, you would be both heartbroken and utterly appalled. I'll read you just a couple of the comments I've been getting. I feel lost and vulnerable. The hospitals in London are overwhelmed. There is still a serious shortage of PPE. We've just been told to close our eyes when any patient coughs. We feel completely helpless. And this last comment, forget lockdown, the NHS is going into meltdown. The managers on the ground are desperately trying to make sure that they can provide a safe service for both the staff and the patients. But what I'm hearing is that there is a massive lack of clarity and guidance from higher levels in the NHS about how to deal with this crisis best.
Yeah, and they're panicking. People are panicking. People are being put into a state of panic. So why should the frontline workers, be it doctors, nurses, cleaners, hospital staff, police officers, fire officers, why should they be any different? People are terrified. And when people are terrified, they will do anything. Fear is a paralyzing thing. It's a very powerful thing, fear. If you get somebody into a state of real fear and panic, you can pretty much get that person to do anything you want them to do. And to accept a reality, which on some level, they still know to be unrealistic and unnecessary. But the fear overpowers that. It overrides that sense that, well, this is totally unrealistic. People are terrified. And they're warning today, I'm going to go now in a minute. I'm going to go because I've not got a lot more to say about this today. They're warning today that these strict measures, these lockdown measures, will actually, not only will they become more strict, and not only will you be subject to genuine checks that you are likely now to be checked, with drones flying overhead, with police officers asking you on the street, where are you going? But that these lockdown measures will last for a significant period of time. Not the couple of weeks that Boris Johnson first spoke about last Monday. When he said a couple of weeks, we get over the worst of it, a couple of weeks, then we'll try and return to some semblance of normality. No, government ministers and opposition party MPs, shadow government ministers, are taking to the airwaves today to agree, yes, we must be prepared for these strict measures to maybe carry on until the summer, into June. And I'll sum up where I am, in case there's any confusion. I don't have any proof of anything. What I believe to be happening at the moment is pretty much what we saw back in 2014, 2015. There was a nasty virus going around. It's a flu. And it's virulent. It's pretty shit. I really do believe that. And as we've seen over the years, when you have the occasional very bad flu season, it does result in more people needing to be hospitalised. And it does sadly result in more people dying. Not from the flu, but from the condition they were living with anyway. The conditions I described earlier on. The underlying conditions. Flu doesn't kill you. Poor health. Poor health. Exacerbated by a sudden attack from a nasty virus can kill you. And that's what's happening. And either those who really pulled the strings knew this was coming, or they made it happen. That I don't know. I can't say it came from the sky. I don't know. I know that it is possible. It can be done. It has been done. But I don't know. And they either knew it was coming, or they made it happen, because the response to it has been swift and merciless to the point that you can only conclude that the response has been in the planning, has been in the works for a long time. This lockdown, this tearing up of civil liberties, this ripping up of the Human Rights Charter. We can force you to stay indoors, or we can arrest you, put you in jail, give you a criminal record, because you're a danger to people. That's what I believe is going on. The virus itself as an idea, you know, a deadly virus that's potentially going to kill millions of people, that's a hoax. A virus, a strain of flu, currently doing the rounds. Yes, makes perfect sense to me because it happens every few years. As for the numbers they're talking about, again, I want to repeat myself. I can't prove they are lying, but they lie all the time about everything else. And nobody has verified the numbers of fatalities in Italy, in Spain and in the UK. Nobody. Your journalists regurgitate the press releases telling them that lots and lots of people died yesterday. There is no verification. There is no secondary, let alone primary source of information. So I don't believe it. I believe it's a psyop meant to herald, to usher in a new dawn, a completely new reality. And that reality is when you can be threatened by politicians and by the police, that you'll be jailed for having the temerity to step outside your front door. And that's a very brief summing up, because it's a wee bit more complicated what I really think. But that's a brief summing up of where I am. That's just my opinion. And I'm back with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock on the Richie Allen Radio Show. I'm not back before then. And Tuesday, I know many of you are bursting to get on to talk about this and to give us your own take on it. And I'll be glad to do that on Tuesday. I'll open Skype. The phone line will be open as well. And I'll get as many calls as I possibly can on, calls as I can on from all over the place. And you can have your say. I look forward to doing that. Thanks for spending some of your Sunday with me. It was short notice, but I'm really glad you did. I'm going out with an old tune that I used to love when I was younger, from a film called Mannequin. It's a Starship, and Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. You enjoy the rest of your Sunday. From the BBG, I'm out of here. See you tomorrow at 5. Look after yourselves and one another. Bye.